words of skill and
words. Major League Baseball got underway this Monday, and of course, baseball has some interesting words, a very particular set of jargon. An ace is a team's best starting pitcher. An easy pitch thrown right down in the middle of home plate is called a meatball. I hadn't heard this one before, but the chest protector, mask, and shin guards worn by the catcher are called the tools of ignorance. That's because it's meant as kind of an ironic commentary comparing the intelligence of a good catcher to the foolishness of playing a position that requires you to have so much protective equipment. So for more on the language of baseball, we're joined by our favorite language guru, Ben Zimmer. Ben's the executive producer of Vocabulary.com and the Visual Thesaurus. He's also the language columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Hey, Ben, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
You know, almost everyone here in Seattle enjoys a cup of coffee, Ben, but I understand cup of coffee is also a baseball term. Is that right?
That's right. When you talk about a young player who's trying to make it into the major leagues, coming up to the minor leagues, sometimes the appearance is very brief, trying to make it into the show, as they sometimes say. And so you could play in a major league game or a few games, and then you might just get sent right back down again. And so baseball players have been using this expression "cup of coffee" all the way back since 1908. Actually, is the first time where they referred to a young player just getting his cup of coffee in the league. That's how it was used way back then. And so the idea is that. You're probably not going to be around very long unless you're very talented. And so you're around for about the length of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, sip and split. Now, we all know about jazz music, but I was surprised to see that you're going to tell us about how jazz was a baseball term before it became America's most famous music genre. What did it mean in terms of that?
Well, yeah, that's a fascinating story because jazz was used in baseball circles before it made its way into music. And so originally we have evidence of it being used as early as 1912 in West Coast baseball. There wasn't Major League Baseball at the time, but we had the Pacific Coast League on the West Coast. And there was reference to a pitcher named Ben Henderson who pitched for the Portland Beavers. And he said he was going to introduce a new curve, and he called it his jazz curve. And it turns out that this jazz ball was very wobbly. And so what jazz meant it had a lot of movement to it. Jazz could also mean lots of vim or vigor. If you give it some of the old jazz, that means you play with pep. And it made this transition into music because in San Francisco, where the San Francisco Seals were playing, they had a band playing when they were training and at the hotel where they were training, and the band, one of the players ended up going to Chicago and starting a jazz band, sort of borrowing the term from baseball. So it's one way that baseball has really contributed and enriched to American culture.
That's so interesting, Ben, and I never have heard anyone call a curve a jazz curve anymore, so apparently its use as a baseball term is pretty much extinct.
Yeah, it had a little run there in the about 100 years ago, but once it caught on in the music, that baseball meaning was pretty much forgotten about.
Now, we probably all have heard the term southpaw referring to a left-handed pitcher in baseball. Where did that come from?
Well, there's an old story that a lot of people still believe that that a left-handed pitcher is called a southpaw because of the orientation of baseball fields in the old days. So the story goes that you had to lay out your ballpark with home plate facing the west. And the idea was that would keep the glare of the afternoon sun out of the batter's eyes or out of the people sitting in the nicer seats. And because of that, supposedly, a left-handed pitcher would be facing to the west and would be throwing using his south paw, his arm to the south. But there's really no evidence for that at all. That's just like a story that was invented pretty much in the late 19th century. We actually have examples now going all the way back to 1813. I found an example from then where the south paw is used to refer to someone's left hand. It's still not exactly clear why you would call your left hand the south paw, But at least we know that actually did not come from baseball, even though now we associate it mostly with left-handed pitchers.
That is so interesting. And left-handedness used to be associated with the devil, I think. Children were like strongly discouraged from using their left hand. So the origins of Southpaw still out there in the area of mystery. Now, here's one I had not heard before, but I love it already. It's a baseball term called hitterish. Now, I have to assume that that's taking the word hitter and turning it into an adjective, or am I wrong?
That's absolutely right. So if somebody's coming to bat, and the player is feeling hitterish, that means he feels like he's going to get a hit today. And it's a great adjective, and it's a real baseball term. In fact, Babe Ruth is credited with using it. He would say before a game, "I feel hitterish today. I'm due to hit one." Babe Ruth obviously had a lot of confidence in his hitting abilities, but it was also associated a bit later on with Dizzy Dean, who was a player and then famously a broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals and the Browns in the 40s. And this was one of his dizzyisms. He would mangle the English language in very, very colorful ways. He adopted hitterish if he said, "Oh, that player, you know, is looking hitterish," and then that was his prediction that they might get a hit. And it's stayed with us. Players still today talk about feeling hitterish, even if they don't know the whole history going back to Babe Ruth and Dizzy Dean.
Okay, I'm going to use that 10 times today, and I'm going to make hitterish part of my regular vocabulary, Ben. We're talking to Ben Zimmer, our language maven, and we love talking to him about the origins of some words. And, of course, because it's the first week of baseball season, we're talking about some baseball terms. There's one called cupcaking it. What's that mean?
Well, that's used in baseball and some other sports too. If you're kind of taking it easy, not using all of your effort like you should be, then you could be accused of cupcaking it, and that gets used in various sports. But baseball is one of them. You can think of it as going along with other kind of dessert-related metaphors that we have in American slang to describe easy things: a piece of cake, a cakewalk. Some people say pudding to mean something easy as pie. So cupcaking it fits right in with those terms.
And this sounds like a great one, Cadillacing it. What's that mean?
Yeah, Cadillacing it. That's another fun verb, like cupcaking it, formed from a noun. And in that case, if you're Cadillacing it, you are going into your home run trot with a very kind of easy demeanor, let's say, and maybe a little ostentatiously running the bases when you hit a home run. That's been called Cadillacing it because the home run trot, that run, that sort of slow run that you make around the bases, has been called the Cadillac trot. And we owe this to an expression that Ralph Kiner, who passed away recently, is credited as saying. He said that singles hitters ride in Fords, home run hitters ride in Cadillacs. So if you're hitting the home runs, that's when you get the sort of the luxury cars. And because of that expression, home run trot came to be known as the Cadillac trot, and then that just became a verb, Cadillacing it.
Well, we'll see if that persists with the waning reputation of the Cadillac. Maybe it'll be Tesla-ing it in the future. Who knows? Ben Zimmer, linguist and lexicographer, thank you so much for taking the time, Ben. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You can also read him in the Wall Street Journal, where he gets the kind of cool job of being the language columnist. With Gina Yandel, I'm Ross Reynolds, and this is The Record.